Die Brücke. A podcast cooperation between Sam Edin and Migration macht Gesellschaft. Bridging the Gap.
Welcome everybody, and this is the Brücke, where our intention is to bridge the gap between cultural differences. And today I have here with me Paul, and from my only two research and conversation I've had with Paul, I would say the hardest token to find is trust. Trust is something which people earn, but there are a lot of times where you find yourself in desperate situations and you try to trust an authority figure. Once the authority figure tells you, sign this paper, you sign it. Because at that point in time, you're coming from a place of want. So, for example, I'm a refugee. I come to Germany. I have no idea as a child what my rights are and what should be the right thing. And all of a sudden, I have someone who is an authority figure standing in front of me and telling me, oh, this paper is there. I don't know what to do, and I just sign. But I probably might have signed my life away, or the person might have also saved me. So I do not have enough context, but I know trust is something which is difficult to come by. Sometimes you give it based on respect, or the person earned it. Sometimes you give it out of desperation. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything to say. So I think Paul works in a space where a lot of it is built on trust.
Exactly.
And I would allow Paul to give us an insight on how he's built trust and how he stumbled upon becoming an impactful person in the lives of so many people that he has used his platform to touch millions of people. So the next voice you're hearing is Paul. So welcome to the Brücke, Paul.
Thank you. It's great being here. Yes, well, my name is Paul. I'm been working since 16 years with refugees, mostly young people that had to leave their country out of different reasons. And I put up an NGO. It's called the Long Run e.V. And our idea is to bring people that had to leave their country because of certain issues and people that didn't have to flee their country together, and people to get to know each other and to enjoy each other and have fun meeting each other and helping each other. I believe people that didn't have this refugee background also learn and experience a lot of things meeting people with the refugee background. Like what you said, I think this is one of the great things our NGO, the Long Run e.V., does. We are a platform where people that came to Germany that don't know their way around, and for them, maybe they don't need to know the difference between an officer or a clerk from the BAMF who's going to send them back home or reject their asylum, and somebody that is here helping them. Because I can understand for a refugee coming from a foreign country, all these different people look the way they dress and how they look the same. And so we that work at the Long Run, we have become a place where people come because they have heard from other refugees that they can trust us, especially me, because I've been working so long. I know people from all over the world since over 16 years, and they still come by. And a lot of them have been very successful in Germany, and that makes me very happy.
What has it been like? What like the age group? Because I've heard about stories of someone coming to Germany, maybe they got here when they were 12 years old, for example, and unfortunately they didn't know what they were signing up for, and somehow you sign up to say you're 16 years old. So you have to start working earlier than expected. But you signed it, like I said, because you're vulnerable. And at that point in time, it's like, finally, I've gone through all the struggles to get here. I'm here at my final point, and I believe this person is going to help me. But I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, This is a typical story. What I've had to deal with quite often. What happens? What is really unfair is that a person, mostly young boys, was 16, maybe 17, finally arrived Germany. And they arrive maybe at night and they haven't slept and they had the long, difficult trip to arrive in Germany. And they meet one person from the authorities and this person looks at him one glance and says, "Nah, you're not 17 or you're not 16. You are 18 or 19. And he just makes up a birth date. That is a birth date that this person is 18. Mm-hmm. Because if the authorities make young people already 18, they are not in the Jugendhilfe anymore. Jugendhilfe is the help from the state that is specially for kids and not for grown-ups. So if you are over 18, you don't get this help. You've come to a normal camp. And if you are declared for under 18, you come into a special camp and you get special help and you have totally different rights. So the authorities try to make everybody older than they actually are.
So it's cheaper for them.
It's cheaper for them. Right. And then they let the boys sign this paper. And you can go against this paper, but it's only in 6 weeks that you have to write an... that you don't agree with this decision. And often till these boys arrive and meet me, it's longer than 6 weeks. But quite often we still were in these 6 weeks and then we right away declare that this person isn't 16. And we have actually made it quite often that we could get the Taskira. This is the birth certificate from boys from Afghanistan with the real dates and bring it and then could prove that they're under 18. And this has been great, but unfortunately, a lot of refugees, especially young, that are younger than 18, come here and are made older than they are to save money.
Okay, but in this context, is it, no one knows, but is it like unofficially like a regulation where they are pushing the officers, like when you come across these people, make them older so we save money? Or is it just the officers who are using their personal prejudice to say, all right, I'm going to do this and I just want you to be older so we save money? So in a nutshell, I'm asking, is this something that feels like a directive from above, or is just the discretion of the person who they meet? Yeah.
I can't answer this because I don't know this for sure, but since 16 years I've been doing this and I have got the feeling that there's a big group in the authorities and in the political elite that try to make life difficult for refugees in Germany. That's what I've experienced in all the time, and I've been working a long time and I've seen a lot of the cases. I would go this far that there is some group of people in Germany, in our country, that I think they would never say so, but I'm very sure in their heart and in their beliefs, they believe that a German has to be a white person that looks like the typical German, and a German can't be any other color of skin. Mm-hmm. I think they would never say so, but that's what they feel deep down. And they want to keep every person of different skin and different background out of the country.
It's not Ursprünglich.
Ursprünglich, yeah.
Ursprünglich. When it comes to Ursprünglich, you get the question a lot. That means, oh, you're German. Oh, yeah, I know, but where do you come from originally?
Originally.
Like, what do you mean originally? You're black. I know. Your parents, who comes to, and if you want to be funny, I'm like, I'm Munich. Like, my parents are from me. Oh, no, no. The Eltern, from your Eltern, your grandparents. They're just trying to reduce you to... Yeah. Like, yeah. All right, I know, but you can't really be German, you know? Look at you, look at you. No, but so you could see that there's some group of people that have this prejudice, which is unfortunate, but it's how the world works and all. But now I can see how your Verein is trying to make a difference. And what has been also your experience with older refugees? Because I can see that one of the hardest things for older refugees is integrating, because mm-hmm. at that point in time, you're struggling about learning the language. Mm-hmm. It's much more difficult. You probably have some responsibilities. Like we're talking about the black tax. You might have family, you have dependents, you have a lot. How is it for older refugees? How do they go through the system? How has your Verein been able to create that pathway for them to still find a place in the system?
Yeah, I have actually at the moment, or I've been working since over 6 years, a little bit, older refugees that have, and they have been longer already here in Germany, and they have been having a hard time learning German. Quite often this happens if they are, if they're native English speakers, because it's very easy to get through in Germany if you are able to speak English. This is one problem for them, but I would say it's quite difficult, and it's even more difficult for them. And what we do since years, we try to get the papers that they're allowed to work in normal work. A lot of refugees, if they are older, it doesn't make any sense to try to find an apprenticeship. I'm talking about over 40.
Okay.
Until 40, you can still say it's possible to start an apprenticeship, but the apprenticeships require quite a good German, and up to 40, and then over 40, and we try to get a work permit. That's very, very difficult to get. And actually now at the moment, and that's making me very, very mad, I have a few of, I say pupils because I don't want to say refugees and I want to say asylum seekers. I say pupils because I'm a teacher. I have a lot of pupils that I've been working with since years. They are finally in a job, earning money, doing actually very well. They speak a little bit of German. They're happy, and the bosses are happy. And now, maybe you have heard it, the German, since the last half year, Germany is pretending that everything that goes wrong in this country is fault of the refugees. It's just totally crazy. And now they are sending people from Nigeria and from Sierra Leone back to their countries, even without papers. They have special agreements. So this has become very, very difficult. And so what we are facing actually at the moment is I have people that are very well integrated. They have a job. They are very much liked. They have a social surrounding here and work out perfectly. And the bosses are happy with them. And still, there is this danger that they can be sent back just by the police, picked up and put in a plane and sent back.
Okay. Me personally, I don't know how the asylum seeking process goes. Mm-hmm. So how does it work from your organization? I mean, someone comes as a refugee. I have no idea, honestly, like what's the process? You go from A to B? Then, because now you're talking about some of them are well integrated and they have a job and their bosses mm-hmm. like them, but even that they have the job and they're well integrated, does that mean they've had their asylum status accepted?
No.
Or, so that's what I, so but now I was confused, is it that they've been accepted and all of a sudden, even if you've been accepted, mm-hmm. you still get sent back?
I will try to explain it really quick. People come to Germany and they say on the border, I'm an asylum seeker, and they come into the asylum process. And, there are countries where it goes, then there's going to be two or three interviews at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then you get negative or positive. If you get positive, you get the Aufenthalt. That means you can stay. You get a plastic card, and you are an asylum seeker here in Germany, and you can work, and you can find your own apartment, and so on. But if you are from a country like Sierra Leone or Nigeria, for example, these are countries where they call geringe Bleibeperspektive. That means the chance for them to get the status as a refugee is very, very small.
Why?
Why? Because the reason to become a refugee in Germany, there's through to three reasons. It's if there's war in your country, mm-hmm. if you are because of your religion persecuted, or because of your, for example, if you're homosexual, it's dangerous for you in your home country. These okay. are the three reasons why you can get asylum mm-hmm. in Germany. And the German authorities, the BAMF says in Nigeria and in Sierra Leone, for example, this is not the case. Okay, so they are never going to get asylum. And so what happens, they get the first three
interviews,
then they get a negative, and then we go just nearby here, and then they write an appeal against this decision. Mm-hmm. And then what happens, then that's very crazy. It takes up to 6 years till.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Up to six years until this person finally gets to see the judge.
So in the 5-6 years, what are they doing?
Actually, nothing. They're allowed to do nothing. And so, and
can they be picked up within that 5-6 years?
No. They can't be picked up. They have a green ID, and it's written on it Aufenthaltsgestattung. That means they are allowed to stay in Germany, but the decision has not been made yet. And they're actually not allowed to work in this time. So what happens? They sit in the camp and wait. And this is where we come, the long run. And especially these people come to because the people that get the status as a refugee, they immediately start to work and they go on with their lives. But all these people that don't have that and have the green ID, they have to sit and wait and hope that finally the decision is made. So in this time, that's what I'm saying every day, all the time. Please, you have to learn German. This is very important. As fast as possible, and get as fast as possible Ausbildung, an apprenticeship. If they are able to find an apprenticeship in this time and learn German, then you can change the asylum case. And it's something that's called 2-3. If they go for apprenticeship for 3 years mm-hmm. and learn this, they get Aufenthalt, that they can stay in Germany 2 more years. And then this expanded and expanded. So this is for people that come as refugees from countries mit geringer Bleibeperspektive, mm-hmm. that have little chance, how they can come into the Germans and stay here in Germany over the
waiting period, over that 5-6 years
in this period. In this waiting period. And that's what I'm preaching this to my boys every day, constantly. Learn German as fast as possible and let me help you get into apprenticeship. I'm very proud this year. Now, since September, I've brought another 3 young men into apprenticeships. They're still in the Aufenthaltsgestattung, but mm-hmm. we're on the way and they're learning German. And I work with some companies together and I have a lot of contacts, and we organize that they get as fast as possible into the apprenticeship. Mm. And then that's the way that they can stay here. Because
so the more integrated you are, the faster it is for you to,
yeah,
like the higher your chances are.
Yeah, it's hard to understand, but the system is like this. The idea is they come here and ask for asylum. Asylum is like a Menschenrecht, mm-hmm. human right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Human right. And this is very important in Germany. But if the German authorities say, listen, you are not an asylum seeker, you're coming out of some other reason, mm-hmm. we can't accept your asylum, then you have to, because they came as asylum seekers, you have to bypass this. Okay. And the only way to bypass this, that's why I say, listen, learn a profession that the German authorities really need, work with kinder in the kindergarten, mm-hmm. work with mm-hmm. old people going mm-hmm. to the hospitals. And that's what I'm trying to do. But not everybody is young enough and skilled enough to do these apprenticeships mm-hmm. and to learn these languages. Mm-hmm. And for them, it's extra difficult.
Okay. But I want to play devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. I want to see from a different perspective. The geringe...
Bleibe perspektive.
So would you want to say it's a fair analysis? Because they would have done some form of research to come up with some set of countries that fall within this bracket. So, for example, they're saying, oh, you're here, but I don't think you have war in your country. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're suffering religious persecution mm-hmm. and all. So looking at it from another perspective, is it also possible that, yes, they've put this law in place, which maybe is actually right? Because you could also want to, when I say play the devil's advocate, mm-hmm. is there's a possibility that someone coming, because we all can't say everybody is saying the truth, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a possibility that coming, you saying you're coming based on this criteria, which is not correct, you're going to block yeah. like 50 other people that actually are coming mm-hmm. from this situation. So I understand mm-hmm. that, because I understand, yeah, it's tough. Everybody's just all trying to like mm-hmm. have a better life.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
In this context, would you also see there's them being, the government being harsh, or the government also trying to maximize the resources mm-hmm. to make sure people that actually need it get it?
Well, I would have.
Like I said, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not saying one person is right or one person is wrong.
This. The thing is, there's a lot of different points about this. One thing is, in a practical way, let's start with which one should I start? I start with one reason. These people are already here. They have came and took a lot of difficulties on them to come to Germany. In Germany, we are missing skilled workers and workers. If they are here, I would say, and they have been here longer, and we have, and the German society has paid them since years, let's integrate them, because then it's not a loss of money. That's just not human, but the idea of practical reason mm-hmm. why I would say, listen, those guys and those persons that are here, let's do something. Let's integrate them and work with them. Then you could answer as the devil advocate, but then maybe all Africa wants to knock on the door and all Asia wants to knock on the door and wants to come to Germany. And this is not possible. And I would answer there. I believe this whole system that you have to risk your life and go over the Mediterranean just to knock on the door and say, please let me in. This is very inhumane. I would wish that the politicians would organize possibilities that people in the homelands could apply for work in Germany or for a mm-hmm, chance mm-hmm. in Germany, and to integrate
directly from their homeland.
Their homeland, that they don't have to risk their lives, because...
But sorry to cut you short, but you know they do have something like that currently.
They have that. They have that, absolutely. But the thing is, it's very... what is it called in English?
You can say it in German.
Brain drain. This is like picking cherries, I think you say that.
It's called the blue card. You know about it, right?
Yeah,
you know what the blue card.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to see it from this angle. I want to see it from this other angle. Mm-hmm. And the part that touches me the most from, it's like kids, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. kids that are pushed into this whole refugee process, not mm-hmm. knowing what to do. And you come here. And that's why I started by saying trust. You're trying to trust the authorities, and the authorities don't care that you're actually 14 and they push you to 19.
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy is actually what baffles me, because these same authorities would go to other parts of the world and say, oh, look at what these other people are doing. They're making children work, children slavery, and you are doing it in your own country, but you could. So it's just funny. It's just that dynamic. So, but not deviating. So how do you guys now move from this status? Because you're trying to integrate and probably it hasn't worked out. What happens to them? You've been here 6 years and waiting. Is it still possible you get deported after 6 years?
Absolutely. Yeah. Unfortunate. Yes. Yes. And it's getting worse. Yeah. And yeah.
What's making it worse? Why is it worse now? What's happening? What's making the situation change all of a sudden?
I think last year, especially because of maybe the world is in trouble at the moment. These two big wars that are going on are scaring people in Germany. And then we had, unfortunately, these attacks of one in Solingen, as you know.
And the one in Munich, close to the Israeli embassy.
And the funny thing, no, it's not funny at all. It's the depressing thing is that in Germany, I can't talk for another language, the country, but in Germany, the moment something goes wrong in the country, they always look for somebody whose fault. And now at the moment, you have the feeling everything that goes wrong in Germany, and the only problem we have are a few refugees. And I'm saying, listen, those few refugees are not taking anything away from you guys. You're never going to stop a person who wants to run amok and wants to kill people. And it can be a refugee, it can be a Muslim, but it can be a Christ. There have been these shootings in schools. You have these, Breivik was a Nazi, and he killed, how much was Breivik in Norway?
Norway,
yeah, 89 people he killed. It's bullshit. It's not a problem of these attacks that comes through refugees. It's a problem of the world.
Okay. So what are the things we or individuals can do to help your Verein run faster? How can we get on the bike? How can we be like my friend at the back end, Zora, and be an inspiration to people?
Yeah, I think you can become a member of our club, of our Verein, and meet these people. And we are a very nice, beautiful group of people of all ages and from all over the world. And we help each other. And we've had incredible, successful stories because we help together.
How can they find you guys? Social media?
Social media, long run. EV is on Facebook.
EV, is that EV?
Full stop, and on Instagram, and also as the webpage, the -long-run.de.
So Paul, I know in the long run, you guys are running a long walk or doing marathons, and also I guess part of the inspiration for the name in the long run also ties into sports. And so could you just fill us in into sport activities the long run is always constantly doing? Is it quarterly, monthly, or what do we have? Winter is coming. So what can people expect from the long run in terms of sport activities?
Yeah, we have sport and art as well. Let's start. If you want to spend a week with the long run, just come by on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We start out with the band Vubel. We have a band with musicians from all over the world, and we have been the band has been playing all over Munich in the best locations that the Munich has, like for example the Munich Kammerspiele and the Karl-Orff-Saal. So if you like music and like to perform in a band and participate, just come by on Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock at Bellevue de Monaco. On Thursday, we have something if you are a child and a girl between 6 and 12. We have a Taekwondo group, and we have one of the best Taekwondo coaches that Germany can offer, because this is Mr. Ahmed. Mr. Ahmed is from Uganda, and he was in the Olympia team for Taekwondo in his country and had a big Taekwondo school in Kampala. Ooh. He's an incredible coach. And so if you are a young girl between 8 and 12, please come and visit us at the Taekwondo school, also at Bellevue de Monaco. At the same time, for grown-ups or a little bit older persons, we have a running group. Me, myself, I'm a runner. I participate there once in a while, but because I have to organize a lot, I have two coaches. We have John from Britain and Mr. Alassane. Mr. Alassane is from Sierra Leone. Mr. Alassane is a really very skilled runner. He runs the half marathon in 1 hour and 6. So if you feel like joining us in the running group and enjoy a nice run in the evening on the Isar, it doesn't matter which level you are, because we're always going to adjust and find the pace according to your skills on Thursday evening for running groups. So if you want to run really fast, then you can go with Mr. Alassane really fast, or everybody goes a little bit slower, however you like. We have a great sport place, a sports camp on top of the building with a view over Munich. And then after Mr. Hadi, we always change. There's a second part in the workout where we have a yoga teacher. At the moment, this is Mrs. Selina. So you start out and build up your muscles, and then you go into the yoga session and become
a yoga meister.
A yoga meister. So please come by. Everybody, if you had to leave their country as a refugee or not, just come by and be a part of our groups. All these Angebote are
kostenlos.
Kostenlos.
Kostenlos means free. So when you're in Germany, if you're a foreigner, if you don't know any German, once you hear kostenlos, you can go in. It means free.
Free.
All right, people, check it out. The Long Run on Instagram. Get all the information you need. Become a yoga meister, taekwondo, kung fu. It's all there. Olympic standard trainer for free. It doesn't get better than that. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Paul. So for everyone that's been out there that have always listened to the Brücke, I want to say a big thank you for giving us your time. And I would have to hand over to Paul to give us any last final words. But from my side, I'm always happy to be your host. My name is Sam. And a shout out to the beautiful people from Migration Magesellschaft, and Silas at the back end, and Inspirational Zora for always having us. So any last words from you, Paul?
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. It's been great to be here. Thank you very much.
All right. Vielen lieben Dank, und wir sehen uns später.